feisty, fearless, and fair. She's an Emmy-winning journalist from the White House to war zones, telling all sides of the story. This is The Rita Cosby Show.
Well, boy, are things a mess, whether it's in New York or around the country. Crime is still an enormous issue all over the place. We got our wide open border. By the way, later on, in about half an hour, we're going to have Guardian Angels founder Curtis Lee was going to join us for an update on the migrants and what's been happening in New York and beyond on the migrants. The weather's getting warmer. And what does that mean for crime? And what does that mean for the migrant situation, which doesn't look like it has any end in sight under this president? There was a scene the other day of these migrants in the middle of the day duking it out with like baseball bats. And people are just driving by going, oh, my God, what's going on in New York? Welcome to New York. So we're going to talk about that with Curtis Lee. He's going to come up in about a half an hour here on The Rita Cosby Show. Also today, President Trump, another day in court. And what a contrast it is. President Trump goes to New York and he gets a rousing applause. Biden goes and he does like a few interviews. He does behind closed door, does fundraisers. And then he goes to, remember, like a couple days ago, he goes to like, I think it was like a Wendy's or somewhere. And I don't even know if anybody recognized him in the place. They're like, who's that guy? Who's that old guy mumbling around trying to decide if it's a vanilla ice cream or strawberry ice cream? But he did make some news today with the radio host Howard Stern. We're going to talk about that in a minute because there's some interesting developments on that front. But first off, here is President Trump, because when President Trump showed up at the construction site earlier this week, and apparently he's going to be doing these sort of pop-up things all over town. Here is the reaction from the workers who loved seeing Trump.
USA! 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 USA!
And he was mucking it up. They were mucking it up. He was signing hard hats, doing all of that stuff. So then today, he has to go back into court again. Today was an interesting day. They had David Pecker, who is the head of the American Media Company, which former head of it, who used to own, of course, the National Enquirer. And again, President Trump said the place is cold and they're keeping me hunkered down, not just from campaigning, but to even be around on my wife's birthday. Listen to this one.
Thank you very much, everybody. Appreciate it. I want to start by wishing my wife, Melania, a very happy birthday. It'd be nice to be with her, but I'm at a courthouse for a rig trial. It's a rig trial. Terrible. But we're doing very well in this rig trial. Everybody knows it.
And by the way, I will agree with him that today actually was a very good day. David Pecker was there. Also, Rona Graff, who was the longtime assistant to President Trump. She was asked, hey, what'd you think of him as a boss? Oh, he was great. She said, yeah, I think I saw Stormy Daniels one time come into the office, but I thought she was there to get a role on The Apprentice. I never really talked to her or anything like that. David Pecker, again, the head of that big media empire, said, yeah, we used to do these catch and kill stories all the time where we'd promote a certain person. Or we would, you know, downplay a certain story for a certain person if we liked them or if we thought that they would promote sales. And they were pretty candid saying that, listen, he said Donald Trump used to sell a lot of magazines. People would see him on the cover and they would want to buy a lot of magazines. So that's why we would promote him on our magazines as opposed to other people that he said we would just suppress the story. You know, that, and we did it, he said, for Schwarzenegger. He brought up also Tiger Woods. So this wasn't his first rodeo. And I think actually so far, I'm trying to figure out where is the crime in all of this. I mean, to me, the more I see this, the more I feel like, wait a minute, where is the evidence of the crime? I'm seeing clearly, you know, so maybe, you know, some questionable, salacious stories. Clearly, you're seeing a celebrity who doesn't want certain things to come out. But then today he was asked under cross-examination, hey, did President, you know, Trump talk about his family? Like maybe he didn't want certain things to come out. Do you think, does he, you know, talk about his family? Like, yeah, you know, and then he also said, you know, I do this a lot. Like we do this often, you know, and he also said that at one point, one of the suppressing of the stories, he said, wasn't spearheaded by Trump. And in fact, when they asked Trump about it, he said that he wasn't interested in it. So how are you going to make him like the big puppet master who's pulling all the strings if he's not the guy pulling the strings? I mean, it's like, it's what is this? The more you see it, you go, boy, they're just trying to bog this guy down. And if you look at the poll numbers, you know why. Because there's some new numbers that show that President Trump, at 6 out of the 7 key swing states, which often turn the election, that right now President Trump is ahead. And Biden sees that. He knows it. He sees what we're all seeing, guys. And they're trying to figure out, well, what do we do? So what does President Biden do? He comes to New York, doesn't go to a construction site. Last time he was here, remember, he went to the, he had his fundraiser at Radio City. I don't begrudge anybody for a fundraiser, but he didn't even make the time to call up the family of Officer Jonathan Diller, remember, who was killed in the line of duty. He didn't go to the wake. President Trump did. And so in the last 24, 48 hours that Biden was in New York, he was doing fundraisers. He did something at Michael Douglas's house, Michael Douglas and Catherine Zeta-Jones's house. And then he also came to New York, but I didn't see him go and stop by any of these universities. It would have been nice to see the president of the United States, guys, saying, you know what? Enough. You guys, we heard you. I'm for free speech. But you know what? This is not free speech anymore. This is hate speech. Stop. We're not going to tolerate this. I thought he was the unifier in chief. He's turning into the panderer in chief. Because he is allowing these things to go on. He did not use this opportunity to step in, and he should have. And that was an enormous, enormous mistake. What are your thoughts, guys? 1-800-848-9222. 1-800-848-9222. And you are listening to The Rita Cosby Show. Let's go to Sandra in New Jersey. Sandra, your thoughts.
Well, two things about Trump, and then I want to talk about the anti-Semitism. You know, I'm looking at Trump sitting in the court there, and I'm beginning to think, you know, he's really learning another side of human behavior, because he never went through this before. So this is a new experience for him, and he's learning more about people. And that's just good to have knowledge about wicked people, and he's seeing them very closely. But what I wanted to say, Rita, last night I was thinking in bed that this anti-Semitism, you know, like I said the other night, it's like a cancer growing. This is going to permeate, and I think it's going to end up going into the workforce. And all these young students, I'm afraid they're not going to get jobs. It's going to get worse and worse and worse.
And I hate to say it, Sandra, I don't think they should get a job. And you're right. I feel sorry for anybody, but you know what? They're not like two-year-olds. It's different. If this was like, you know, a bunch of kindergartners, you know, you don't want to punish them. But, you know, in this case, they are adults. They know what they're doing. They know it's hateful. They know what happened October 7th. And I actually think it's very appropriate. If you're a future employer and you know that one of these people is coming to your firm, I wouldn't want them in my firm because it says a lot about their morals. Or lack thereof. What do you think, Sandra? Do you feel so? I don't feel sorry for him. You clearly do. I don't know why.
No. You misunderstood. What I'm saying to you is that this is going to get worse and worse and worse. And the Jewish students who are going to look for jobs, they're not going to get them because of the evil that's going to penetrate.
Oh, that's interesting. So you actually think the opposite. You think that people are going to say, I don't want to hire. See, what has been happening of late, I don't know if you've seen some of the headlines, right now, there's actually been some people who are saying, and some hedge fund folks on Wall Street, a lot of them are Jewish, and they've come out and said, we don't want to hire these people. We want to get some of the names of some of these protesters, especially the ones who are arrested, because they're probably the worst of the group. This guy, the leader of the group, certainly should have a couple stars next to his name. But they're saying, we don't want somebody like that in our office. And I think they have a right to do that, don't you?
Oh, I'm happy when you say that, but I'm just concerned that that's not going to last. It's going to, I hope good wins and evil loses, but I'm afraid if this continues, we have to stop it before it gets worse. It will end up going into the workforce and people won't get jobs that they deserve to get because of their background. That's all I'm saying.
That's a fair point, by the way. And that is, it's a slippery slope. And especially if for some reason the tables are turned where there's an anti-Semitic boss saying, okay, I don't want to hire this person. And that's why it's real. And that's why, you know, Sandra, it needed to be nipped. It's already gone way too far. I mean, it already should have been nipped on day one. And that's why I do blame the president of the United States and also others. I will say again, I do believe that Eric Adams has been very strong on supporting Israel and condemning the protesters. The governor has, Richie Torres. There are a number that have come out. But the others, the silence has been deafening. And then you see like people like Ilhan Omar showing up on campus there with her daughter and her even criticizing the police. I mean, the other day she was blasting the police saying this is like a brutal group that's coming in, like the oppressors are coming in. So much so the police had to respond and say, give me a break, Madam Congresswoman. I mean, that's an American congresswoman. It is stunning. And then her and her daughter walking through, by the way, talking to this guy, the student leader. There's some video of the student leader, Kamani James. What a group of three musketeers, him, Ilhan Omar, and her daughter. Wow, wow, wow. Let's go to Tony in Brooklyn. Tony, your thoughts.
Hey, Rita. You have a great show tonight.
Thank you.
Rita, you know, as a parent, my heart goes out to these Jewish kids at Columbia. I'm really worried about them.
Me too.
Because they have been on the forefront of never again for the Jewish people and never again for all the other people. And it's upsetting when people like you and other personalities on the radio station advocate for the police to go in there and by violent means, disperse the crowds.
So, hang on a second, Tony. Hold on a second. I am worried about them, too. I do think in some cases, obviously, the best solution is for them to leave on their own and for the universities to agree to it. I'm not agreeing for them to be violent, but at a certain point, you shouldn't be having these students there shouting and spewing horrible things. Like this guy who was shouting and saying, you know, Zionists don't deserve to live. I would say somebody like that, that's a dangerous thing to be shouted on a college campus. They've been asked to leave by the college president over and over again, and they're not leaving. So there has to be some solution to it. What should have happened was clearly they should have had clarity from day one. What you think that they should just set up there and what? Have free reign over the university and say whatever they want and threaten students and beat cops on the head with bottles, and that's okay?
I think the problem is outside the campus because you have people like Sid and Curtis that go there and act like giant bullies that want to go there and bully like little 120-pound girls from Livingston, New Jersey. They're not doing anybody any favors.
Tony, what are you talking about? Tony, what are you talking about? By the way, Curtis is going to come up. He's going to be joining us. I'm going to ask him about a 120-pound girl from Livingston, New Jersey. I'm not sure, what's got your hide tonight. But what I will tell you is they're standing up and saying, listen, people should not be terrorized and Jewish students and everybody should be able to go to class. Well, it doesn't matter if you're Jewish or not. Everybody has a right to go to class. And guess what? They were saying a heck of a lot more than some of the presidents of these universities. And I applaud Curtis and I applaud Sid for standing up for Jewish students and for being fair for everybody. Because clearly you think it's okay. And you think these people spew it with I love Hamas, that that's not destructive. Tony, real quick, don't you think that that is damaging? I don't know about this 120-pound person from Livingston, New Jersey, but I can tell you that when you hear somebody say it, I don't care what they weigh. And I don't care if it's a man or woman. That's really scary. Don't you agree?
Yeah, the only person that are saying that they love Hamas are the people that people like you implant into these rallies.
We're not planting them, Tony. Stuff. Tony, what is wrong with you? You think that like we're planting people in these rallies? You have got to be kidding me. Tony, you need to go see a psychiatrist. I really wish you good luck because that psychiatrist is going to need a lot of work with you. But good night. My goodness. Wow, that's a loony. That's a new one. Curtis is coming up, so we'll get him to reply to that one. But boy, 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 Tony, you are so askew on this one. 1-800-848-9222. Let's see where the 120-pound girl from Livingston, New Jersey is. Tony, boy, oh boy.
You're listening to The Rita Cosby Show.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is The Rita Cosby Show.
We need a song about love after that call from Tony. I'll get Curtis. Curtis is coming up in a few minutes, so we'll get him to reply to Tony, who somehow felt he could do a little salvo there for some reason. But that'll be interesting to see Curtis's response. Curtis Lee, we're going to join us in about 7-8 minutes to reply to Tony. And also, we're going to talk about the migrants. And I don't know if you guys heard this, but Joe Biden came out and says he would be happy to debate Donald Trump. That's going to be one for the record books if he actually will do it. And then he talked about how these women send salacious pictures to him. So we'll have to get into that. We'll get Curtis's take on all that. It'll be kind of an interesting. It's Friday night. Friday night follies. 1-800-848-9222. 1-800-848-9222. 9222, and we'll also take your calls, everybody, when we come back. You are listening to The Rita Cosby Show on a very interesting Friday night.
Rita Cosby is on.
To Tony, who called, who clearly is like stepping on thorns tonight, calling in. It's Friday night, and that means we have a treat joining us here. We have Curtis Sliwa, of course, the founder of the Guardian Angels, and also Curtis is on for all of our awesome WABC radio listeners. He starts at midnight till 6 a.m., so you can never, ever sleep if you are listening to Curtis. And Curtis, you never sleep. First off, So much going on. You got to fill us in on the migrant situation in New York as the weather's getting warmer.
Sure.
And what does that mean, Curtis Lewa?
Well, most people are unaware that the migrant crisis continues because it's not in the news cycle now. Everything is demonstrations on campuses, Columbia, NYU, CCNY. I get it. But they come in 3,000 a week. So it hasn't slowed down. And now they come in through Jersey. So Abbott sends them to the Secaucus Rail Link, the Lautenberg Station. The New Jersey Transit cops actually escort them, put them on New Jersey train. It's 5 minutes to Penn Station. Catholic Charities puts them in cabs, and they go right to the Roosevelt Hotel and get processed.
So they got the whole network.
Oh, yeah, and get their debit card. Remember, don't forget that debit card. You got to test it, swipe it. It's like $381, you know, a week. It's like, whoa. And they get, you know, they get to choose, well, which encampment do you want to go to? But you had mentioned the Row Hotel.
Yes. Oh, my God. The Row Hotel, which, of course, is the everybody remembers the Milford Plaza.
That's right. All those advertisements to the heartland of America to entice you. Come on in. You know, you go see a Broadway show. You have a nice, you go to a nice restaurant. You enjoy New York City. Spend the whole weekend at the old Milford Plaza. People loved it. Well, they converted the Milford Plaza into a migrant no-tell motel. And these illegal aliens, it cost us $400 a night. That was the first place, remember, that they complained that the food was not culturally appropriate.
Right,
they didn't want to eat the bagel with the schmear. So what did Eric Adams do? He said, Grubhub it. Make sure you get them culturally appropriate food. They want con arroz habichuel, is beans and rice.
Right.
So with a chuleta right on top of pork chop. Okay, order it. Well, who's paying for it? The sucker taxpayers in New York City. And it's gone downhill ever since. But they had a gang fight right out on the street, 8th Avenue and
with
the side street.
With baseball bats.
I mean, right out of West Side Story, Jets versus Sharks. The cops didn't arrest anybody because they're untouchables, especially these. They're Venezuelans. They have a special status amongst the illegals. And so everything just went back.
They're allowed to beat cops in Times Square?
They're allowed to beat cops. They're allowed to shoplift. They're allowed to boost products, sell products. They bring it down to Florida and sell the products. And they never get charged. And you would think, turn them over to ICE, L'Immigre, Immigration and Naturalization Service. No, we're a sanctuary city, sanctuary state. We don't cooperate with ICE. So the Venezuelans especially, they've learned after watching on the sidelines for a year that you can walk into a store, shoplift, no problem, no consequences. You can beat each other up in the streets. You can attack cops. No problemo. Nothing's going to happen to you.
You know, my sad reality, I was watching the video of the West Side Story going on in the street, and the drivers were just going by and going like, oh, my God, you can see their face like, what the heck is going on in New York? Because it was broad daylight.
And there are cameras everywhere, so even if you couldn't stop them initially, eventually, through photo recognition technology, you should be able to pick it up.
Any arrests or nada?
Nada. And if they do get arrested, it's a C summons, which is nothing, or it's what you call a DAT, disappearance ticket. So you basically get it, you disappear. Now, the illegals, they don't wear masks. So they're easy to pick up with photo recognition technology. That's why you see all these young folks with the schmatas on their head, covering their face, the keffiyeh, masks. There's no COVID crisis.
I was going to say, I thought it was COVID again, right? Yeah.
Right, and these are not older people who maybe are still concerned. They may get a respiratory situation. These are young huckleberries. So now when you see them all masked up, they don't want mommy and daddy to find out through photo recognition technology, that the $100,000 a year that was being paid to take care of them on Columbia was actually being spent so they could go out and take over the campus, especially the South Lawn, the Quad.
And they're still there, by the way. I mean, no matter how many times the university president keeps giving the extension. By the way, Curtis, we had a caller, a special caller who called in, Tony from Brooklyn, and out of the blue, Tony suddenly starts talking about you and Sid Rosenberg. So you got to hear Tony. And then I got to get your reply, my friend.
I think the problem is outside the campus because you have people like Sid and Curtis that go there and act like giant bullies that want to go there and bully like little 120-pound girls from Livingston, New Jersey. They're not doing anybody any favors.
Tony, what are you talking about? Tony, what are you talking about? By the way, Curtis is going to come up. He's going to be joining us. I'm going to ask him about a 120-pound girl from Livingston, New Jersey. I'm not sure, what's got your hide tonight. But what I will tell you is they're standing up and saying, listen, people should not be terrorized, and Jewish students and everybody should be able to go to class. Well, it doesn't matter if you're Jewish or not. Everybody has a right to go to class. And guess what? They were saying a heck of a lot more than some of the presidents of these universities. And I applaud Curtis and I applaud Sid for standing up for Jewish students and for being fair for everybody. Because clearly you think it's okay. And you think these people spew it with I love Hamas, that's not destructive. Tony, real quick, don't you think that is damaging? I don't know about this 120-pound person from Livingston, New Jersey, but I can tell you that when you hear somebody say it, I don't care what they weigh. And I don't care if it's a man or woman. That's really scary. Don't you agree?
Yeah, the only person that are saying that they love Hamas are the people that people like you implant into these rallies.
We're not planting them, Tony. Stuff. Tony, what is wrong with you? You think that like we're planting people in these rallies? You have got to be kidding me. Tony, you need to go see a psychiatrist. I really wish you good luck because that psychiatrist is going to need a lot of work with you. What do you make of that guy? First of all, it is Friday night, so I guess the gremlins come out, Curtis. But he's thinking that we plant people there, and you're a bully for picking on a nice, sweet little 120-pound girl, I guess, from Livingston, New Jersey, whoever that is.
Well, first off, Tony is using the talking points of the day for those who support the Hamas-loving students who've taken over the South Lawn. Is that they're claiming that all these statements, like that transgender leader, kill the Zionist killer now.
Yeah, Kaimani James.
Right. It's a covert operation, an agent provocateur.
Right.
That he's really not one of them. Hey, he's been a student for years. He said
the
these
leader.
Things in January.
He's the leader.
Right.
And when they asked him, Curtis, about it, he was like, oh, yeah, I mean it.
Yep.
I don't mean just to eradicate him here. I mean to eradicate him everywhere.
He doubled down. Now, in terms of the 120-pound young ladies from Livingston, New Jersey,
yeah,
with their little teddy
about?
Bears.
What are they talking about?
With their
about?
Little teddy bears as they put the keffiyeh on their head for the first time. First off, he obviously does not listen as closely as he gives himself credit to. On Monday morning, Sid announced in the morning, starting at 6, that he was going to go to Columbia University and take his stand to defend Jewish students. Because remember, that weekend, their head rabbi said, go home.
Right.
Leave. It's too dangerous. And the first one to say he would join Sid was not me. It was Anthony D'Esposito. The congressman texted him right away, I'm with you.
Right.
Then Congressman Lawler. Then Bruce Blakeman, county executive, Nassau County. And then
Nicole Malliotakis.
Yep. Right, but then the actor guy, I forget his
name. Oh,
yeah,
Michael Rappaport.
Right,
yeah,
hates Trump but loves Sid. Anyway, so they all, and he asked me, are you going? I said, I'm not going, and I'll tell you why. If the Jewish kids ain't going to stay and fight for what they know is right, forget it. That's their battle.
So is
there.
He falsely putting you in there just
yes.
because he assumed you would be
yeah,
fighting
I was
the
saying,
fight?
You see, I was talking about 1968, the last time they took over
so
the
I
campus.
So I guess he got his years, his decades mixed up.
He got
up.
That, and I was saying, hey, that's when the JDL started, and Mike Kahani said every Jew at 22. But I said, no, I'm not going up there to fight your battle. I said, you're King David II.
Oh.
Ever since October 7th, Sid, you're King of the Jews.
So you're leaving it to Sid.
Get up there.
You're leaving it to Sid and Michael Rappaport.
Yeah, well, he's Jewish, too. In fact, he was originally one who chastised me because he goes, Gentiles can't say Jews. You know, they can say Jewish people, but not Jews. And I said, wait a second. They wrote a book, One Tough Jew. What are you talking about? So he's like, meze, meze, poco, poco.
Yeah, no, it was an interesting,
he's like
I agree.
Half and half.
Yeah, I got like all these others, and then I was like, Michael Rappaport, it was
well,
a weird combo.
It was good to have him, because he's typically seen as bashing Trump.
I agree.
Although,
refreshing.
I got to tell you, of late, he has said, if given the choice tomorrow, between Biden and Trump, he'd vote for Trump.
Just like Bill Barr.
Yeah.
Bill Barr, who a former AG who's no fan. By the way, speaking since you're on the campaign trail here, this just came out a little bit ago. President Biden in New York doesn't go to the campuses to finally show a little moral clarity. Doesn't do that, Curtis, right? God forbid. But he finds his way to Howard Stern's show, and he made this announcement.
I don't know if you're going to debate your opponent.
I am somewhere. I don't know when. I'm happy to debate him.
I'm happy to debate. He sounds like a ball of energy, Curtis. What do you think?
Man, that would be like Mike Tyson versus Pee Wee Herman when he was alive. Come on. He's not in shape to debate Trump. Trump every day, he's like a Gatling gun. You know, he's nonstop from 6 in the morning to like 12 midnight.
Yeah, he showed up 6:30 at the construction site.
Right.
You know,
down the block from where we broadcast.
Right.
I pass there every morning when I join Sid. And it's interesting because the day after, some of them were still on a euphoric high because, you know, they're not used to getting anybody dropping by, especially in the morning. They get them their cup of coffee before start their work.
And they loved him. You heard they were chanting.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. I just can't imagine Rip Van Winkle there.
I can't either. But by the way,
Joe Biden doing that.
He is not just Rip Van Winkle. He is Stud Van Winkle you got to hear this. This was a doozy that he dropped with Howard Stern, Curtis. Listen to this one.
I got put in that 10 most eligible bachelor's list.
Because you were a United States Senator, you were a catch.
And a lot of lovely women, but women would send very salacious pictures, and I just gave them to the Secret Service. I thought somebody would think I was, and I just gave up.
I gave up, or they gave up, or we all gave up.
That is very weird.
Yeah, it was bizarre. What did you make of that? Translate it for us, Curtis Lewa.
He's trying to sound hip and happening. You know, it's just like he says, I'm on TikTok, but I want to ban TikTok. Hey, you're an old codger. Act your age.
Right. First of all, can you imagine anybody sending pictures to him? It was just bizarre.
And then, I listened to the interview. He told another whopper.
Oh, yeah. He talked
about he was on a porch with a black family and he got arrested.
Right.
I mean, this is like when he traveled with Andy Young to South Africa, who used to be the ambassador for Carter to the United Nations, mayor of Atlanta, and said, I got arrested while trying to visit Nelson Mandela on Robben's Island, which was the prison. And Andrew Young said, we never got arrested.
Right.
What is it? He got arrested maybe on a
corn,
port.
Maybe Corn Pop was there.
That's right. Corn.
You remember Corn Pop?
Corn Pop.
I mean, can you imagine? Who are these women sending Joe Biden, what, naked pictures?
You can't let this guy talk. He tells a whopper every time.
Yeah.
Now, everybody's going to say, well, when did this happen? Right. You were on a porch with a black. The next it's going to be, yeah, and the Klan was trying to burn down the house.
And then Uncle Bozy brought the cannibals.
Oh, yeah. And now there's an international episode. The Prime Minister of New Guinea wants an apology. What do you think? We're all cannibals here in New Guinea?
Right. He's like, we want an apology. We're not known for cannibalism.
Right. You know, he conflated his story. It was Rockefeller's son, Michael.
Right.
1962, he was looking for exotic primitive art that Nelson, his father, loved.
Right.
And apparently they turned on him and may have cannibalized him. What the hell does that have to do with you and your uncle and World War II, Army Corps? He got shot down over the Pacific.
You know it's bad when the Pentagon came out with the statement and said, yeah, the engines went down, I think, over the water, and there's no evidence that Bozy ended up as a dinner.
You know, it used to be a president would be guilty of a faux pas, like Bush 43. And that would dominate the news for like months. Now it's every time he speaks.
Right.
You expect it. If he doesn't deliver one of those whoppers, you're like, hey, I want a rebate on this.
Yeah, right. Exactly. It is a doozy. Oh, my God. Curtis Lewa, thank you. And thank you for responding to Tony, too.
Oh, yeah. Tone, trust me. I'm not going up there to stalk 110-pound girls from Livingston, New Jersey with their teddy bears and the schmata on their head.
I'm glad we cleared that up. Thank you very much, Curtis Lewa. And everybody, again, tune in to Curtis. He's going to be on at midnight to 6 a.m. on the other side of midnight, starting in just a few minutes on WABC Radio for that and a whole bunch more, everybody. And this is the Tunnel to Tower segment. This is our Support Our Hero segment that we love to do every night.
The Rita Cosby Show presents Support Our Heroes.
And this is the Tunnel to Towers Foundation. Support our hero segment. Check out the Tunnel to Towers Foundation. They do so much to help America's heroes. And this powerful story coming from Bozeman, Montana, where this week, a 100-year-old World War II veteran, Dr. Maury Irvine, received the most distinguished award that Congress can bestow, the Congressional Gold Medal. Dr. Irvine was born in January 1924. Soon after, he moved to Montana. He graduated from Butte High School. I have friends in Butte. If you're listening, we love you. We appreciate you. Pearl Harbor and World War II changed Maury's life, and he knew he wanted to join the Navy. He said as soon as he heard about what was going on with the war, he ran down to the Navy recruiting office. He said, I love the Navy. Then they gave me an eye test, and they declared I was unfit for office. But his blindness did make him ineligible, as you heard from the Navy. But that said, he said, I still want to help and do my part. So he said, I heard there was something called the Merchant Marine, and they were looking for radio operators. Irvine had lots of experience with radios. In high school, he built himself a radio station, and he got a ham radio license. Irvine got a position with the Merchant Marines, and he served as a radio officer until 1946. By the way, the Congressional Gold Medal is considered the most distinguished award that Congress bestows. Other recipients of the award include Sir Winston Churchill and George Washington. And by the way, this Congressional Gold Medal for the Merchant Marines carries a very special place in my heart. I helped to play a role with them getting, actually, the Congressional Gold Medal. I spoke to the Merchant Marine Convention. And when I heard that these unsung heroes had not been recognized appropriately, myself and a whole bunch of great Merchant Marine heroes and many other great Americans got together and helped through Congress, did a little bit of nudging, and they finally were recognized. And I was there in Congress when the gold medal was presented to a number of them. But bravo to this great one, Dr. Maury Irvine. We love the Greatest Generation. And everybody, help America to never, ever forget. Donate $11 a month to the Tunnel to Towers Foundation at T2T.org, T2T.org.
You're listening to The Rita Cosby Show. It's The Rita Cosby Show.
Seems like he wants the world to know something. Wow. It's been an interesting night. And it was great having Curtis here, too, on the show, everybody. Well, it is going to be a wild weekend because the clock is ticking on the Columbia protests. The president said they wanted them out. They're still there. There's calls now from both sides asking her to step down. She says she's not going anywhere. But it looks like the students aren't going anywhere either. So where is this showdown going to go? And how do you see it ending, guys? Wow, wow, wow. Let's go to Andrew real quick. Andrew, you there on line two? Go ahead. Andrew, call us back if you're not there. Let's go to Mila on line five. Mila, go ahead, Mila.
Yes, hello, Ms. Rita. You're amazing. I want to share my observation about anti-Semitism. The irony for me that 32 years ago, I ran from anti-Semitism from Russia, and now I encounter to much larger scale anti-Semitism here.
Wow. You know, Mila, I heard what you said, that you left anti-Semitism, obviously, in Russia and came here, and you're seeing it here. It is unbelievable. I never expected to see it on campuses like we're seeing. And some of this vile stuff, it has to stop. We got to get along.